Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
What makes one person creative and another person not so much? Why is one person inspired while another person is bored? These are questions that inspire Kurt Anderson and Julie Bernstein to burst into creativity. They've been asking these questions for over a decade on PRI's Arts and Culture program, Studio 360. Kurt is the host of the show. Julie is former executive producer. And this week, there's a new book out that's written by Julie with a foreword by Kurt. And it hits the stars. It's called Spark, How Creativity Works. It features insights from really some of the greatest creative minds of our time. Some of them people know very, very well. Robert Plant, Alison Krauss, Yo-Yo Ma. Some of them people may not recognize at all, but they have really insightful things to say about themselves, which is not always the case. Kurt and Julie join us in the studio. And Kurt, I want to go to you first, because what I was just talking about is true that oftentimes artists have no idea where their creativity comes from.
No, unfortunately, artists are often the least articulate about what they do of anyone around. So we've had the good fortune of having about 1,000 of these great filmmakers, writers, musicians, and so forth on Studio 360 over the years. And out of that, a couple of hundred of them, at least, not only were articulate, but really could talk about the nature of their artistic process, what they did when they got blocked or stumped, how they turned the lemons of their unhappy childhoods into the lemonade of their work, and so forth. And we really distilled the highlights of those great interviews over the years from Studio 360 into a kind of primer about how creativity works.
And Julie, you know, I'm wondering number one, how you chose the people that you featured in the book. And then why you separated them. You have certain categories like mother and father or imagination's wellspring. How you chose where to put them in what category?
Well, it went back to when Kurt and I were starting Studio 360, we looked at what we used to say, where art and real life collide. And so when we looked at the interviews that we had, I thought, how do we pull these together so that they relate to life as well as to art? And so that's why the chapters really focus on experiences that all of us may have, but that these artists have then taken and created this extraordinary work. So childhood is something Kurt often asks people about. And what I found fascinating was, for so many of these artists, it wasn't the art lessons that they took. It was the deepest challenge that they faced as a kid. So Richard Ford, the novelist, for example, talks about how he was so severely dyslexic as a kid that he can't still read silently much faster than he can read out loud, but that the dyslexia itself showed him different facets of language, the melody of language and the rhythm of language, because he had to slow down. That informed him as a novelist. So that's what we were really looking for, is where are those collisions that create somebody's creativity.
And, you know, Kurt, reading through a lot of these profiles, many of them are very, very different in terms of what they think of as their wellspring of imagination.
Absolutely.
But what Julie's talking about is a through line that so often people look back at their childhoods and think, oh, I had all these challenges, these things that were holding me back. But for these artists and these creators, these were some of the things that propelled them forward.
Absolutely. And, of course, it's somewhat easier to say that once you're Yo-Yo Ma.
Successful, yeah.
Once you're an extraordinarily successful artist who has transmuted the difficulties that they had into this great work. But yes, and I think it was up to us and up to Julie, as she went cold through these thousands of hours of tape, to see that these themes really emerged. We didn't impose these ideas and these themes, these seven habits of highly creative people, onto the book. They really came out of all these conversations.
Well, Julie, you know, another thing that came out to me was that art was not necessarily a refuge for all these people. People often think of art as, you know, that's where you're going to get your catharsis and you run away to art. That was not necessarily the case for all of these people. Oftentimes, can you tell me a little bit about the people who for whom art was part of the struggle?
Yes, I think everybody talks about work as being hard. This is not something that people, you know, they go and they take their pencil and suddenly they have a masterpiece. And Chuck Close talks about how inspiration is for amateurs and the rest of us just get to work. But the struggle itself, I mean, having written the book, now I'm looking at it again and seeing that looking at conflict, actually, that's the growing edge for so many of these people in terms of being able to create something new. And one of the things so many of these artists can do is say, you know what, this is really hard and I'm really confused and I'm not sure what to do, or I'm having a fight with somebody about this. But that's how the new work is going to happen. Robert Venturi, the architect, and his wife, Denise Scott Brown, his partner, both in life and art, talk about how it really is one of them will come up with an idea and the other one will say, I don't think that works. And the first one will say, what do you mean it doesn't work? And then come back the next day and say, okay, I listened to you. How about this? And it really is that conflict, that struggle, that leads them to something new.
It's a little like having a baby. You forget how terrible it is after that. You have the joy of the finished artistic creation, I think.
The finished. Yeah, well, you do.
I'm finished. I'm not sure about finished, but yes.
But Kurt, for many of these artists, in their speaking to you, it sounds, when you're reading the book at least, and I didn't obviously hear all of these interviews, but it sounds as though in sometimes in their discussions with you, they're discovering themselves. What it was. You had that sense as well.
Absolutely. I mean, to me, that's the best moments regularly on the show is when there is, if not a revelation or an epiphany, at least coming to a kind of understanding because of how this happens for them. Because people don't ordinarily have that kind of self-consciousness. And sometimes, actually, these creative people and these artists avoid
looking at it too closely. They don't always seem happy. They want to think of it as magic. And, Julie, I'm wondering what we take away from this. I mean, what do I learn who is not Yo-Yo Ma, nor Alison Krauss, nor Robert Plant? What do I take from this?
Well, I think the idea that creativity is only for these people who make these extraordinary works of art, that's not true. There's creative expression in everything that we do, and decision-making is often a creative thing. And that's one of the things that I took away from this is that it's not just about the work that I might do at Studio 360 with other people who are making something, but it's the decisions that I have to make about my kids or at home, that approaching things from another perspective and being open to what's going on around me, which is another key thing of all of these artists. They are open to experience and then are able to take that in and make something new. That's something we can all use in our lives.
And as parents, I think it probably makes us feel a little better about the struggles our kids go through, right?
Exactly. Because most of these people, certainly, who have wonderful, fulfilling, successful lives, didn't necessarily have easy childhoods. Easy is not the highest priority for fulfilling one's creativity.
Easy, overrated.
Exactly.
That's part of the message of the new book, Spark, How Creativity Works. It is the product of years of interviews on Kurt Anderson's program, Studio 360. But the author of the book is Julie Burstein, former executive producer of Studio 360. Kurt Anderson wrote the foreword. Thank you guys both so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So much fun. Thank you.
You can catch more of Kurt, of course, on PRI and WNYC's Studio 360. Check your local public radio station to find out when it airs or go on the internet. If you can get your own creativity flowing, how do you do that? Give us your ideas on how it works for you by calling 877-8-MY-TAKE or head over to thetakeaway.org. While you're there, last chance to let us know about your cunning canine. Our smartest dog contest is getting ready to wrap up, but you can find out more at thetakeaway.org. You can submit a photo or video using our iPhone app. We've got videos of dogs doing kind of surprising things. I'm Celeste Headley. John Hockenberry is out all this week. This is The Takeaway.